Welcome. She does have income of $481 a month paid, and her husband just got a job. So what they wanted was to get a loan to pay that down payment, and they would return the funds back to the community just as soon as her husband can make a payday. I think he just started working, back to working. So we wanted to ask your help or your permission to allow us hospital because they don't have it themselves. So if you can give me a show of hands that it's all right. I know that there's been a lot. Okay, the other one was a sister, Tahita Rashid. My brother Hassan Rashid had a nervous breakdown. He had worked 5 years at U.S. Steel, and I think he got a little ill and he quit the job. Now, because he was starting to have this nervous breakdown, and her problem is that for about 2 or 3 months he hasn't been at himself. Well, he's out of the hospital now, and he's just beginning to come around where he knows of his responsibilities as a Muslim, but she needs a loan of $600. She said that she would be able to pay it back starting March the 1st. She told me that they've been in the community for 3 years, and the problem right at this point is that he can't get his job back. The union is trying to get his job back because they say that he was under duress when he quit. He never would have quit the job if he had been at himself. So they're working very hard, the union is, to try to get his job back, but she doesn't have any funds right now. And the money that she does have has been coming from borrowed money from his family and her own. So she said if she could get $600, I think he will start getting a check from unemployment in the next couple of 3 weeks. And inshallah, she says, I think in another 2 months, she's going to receive some Social Security in addition to this. So I'm asking you again, is this $600, some of you may know him, I think he was on one of the committees for a while, both of them. And if you have any reason to think that they shouldn't have it, you should went for the Brother James and Sister Mamie also, then say so. If not, then we'd like to see a show of hands to loan this sister the money to help her out. All praise be to Allah. All right, thank you very much. I'm going to turn the rostrum over to the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum. All praise to Allah, the God. side in government. Now, this is no concept or knowledge that I'm dreaming up myself. These ideas are found in the Quran, found in the Bible, and in very ancient scripture, very ancient wisdom of the people of Middle East, Africa, and other parts of the world. In fact, all over the world. The Holy Quran says, "Kan nas ummatan wahida," that the people were one single community. And those people who have said it, the nations of the world, their culture, their religion, their culture, their art, they too say that there is one common language existing in the religion, art, and culture of all the people. The religions that seem to be far away from proper religion, even in those religions, we find some things that are very similar. In fact, Noah's flood, you don't find it in the American Indian religion as Noah's flood, but you find the same idea. They said that there was a great flood, and the flood brought out all kinds of strange creatures to the surface. Brought them out of their holes. All of the strange creatures came out of their holes and came to the surface. Now, the idea of flood is the bringing out of corruption and all of the undesirable things coming out into the open. So the Noah flood doesn't go in and describe, doesn't go into detail to describe just what happens when there's a flood. But the Indian story of this flood, the American Indian story of this flood, goes into details and tells just what happens when there's a flood. The old Westerners, backbush people, they call them vermins, I think, right? All the vermins, they come out. The flood comes and they drive all these strange things out of their holes, out of their hiding places. So the Indians have the flood, the Noah flood, the same idea as in the American Indian religion. The flood is in the mythology of the Chinese people. We have Noah in the Bible. They have Mu, in their mythology. And so many things. We go and we pick them out and we can see them. So the Holy Quran says, again I repeat, that Kanan nas ummatan wahida, that the people were once one community, meaning that there was once one language of ideas, not necessarily language like we speak, English, Arabic, German, not that, but one language of ideas, that the people had the common idea about religion, about human nature, about religion, about what life is. They had a common idea, and this idea was all over the world. The Americans came here to this part of the world by accident, as you know. And when they came here, they found that the 365 day calendar wasn't something that was discovered over there in Europe or in Asia, in that part of the world, any more than it was discovered over here in America. They found that the Indians of the Yucatan, or the Maya Indians, had already made the same discovery. They had come up with the same calendar, you see? Yeah, and many other things. The idea of the snake, associating the snake with a human being. It exists in America as it exists in the Far East. So all of these ideas must have come from an ancient, very ancient cultural development. And that very ancient culture spread these ideas all over the world. We thought that Columbus was the first man to come to America, is that right? But there's proof that others came before Columbus. Irish came before Columbus. What is the man named? Leif Erikson, I think his name, isn't it? Yeah. he came before Irishmen. He came before Columbus. And then there are big heads of African-looking people, so-called African-looking people, that are in South America. No, that's South America. Where are those big heads? Mexico. I believe in Mexico. Big heads of Bilalian people there as evidence that the Bilalian people also came to this part of the world many, many, many centuries, perhaps thousands of years before Columbus, you see. So this world is small. It's not as big as you think it is. It's a small world. And the things we're doing now, we're not doing them for the first time. As one ancient wise man said, there is nothing new under the sun. And I'm telling you, the more I live, the more I'm inclined to agree with him, there's nothing new under the sun. This old earth has been around here a long time, and people have done these things that we're doing. And the knowledge is one. And perhaps, who knows, perhaps it took man millions of years to discover the science of life, the science of human life. Perhaps it took him millions of years. But one day he did reach that knowledge. He learned the science of human life. And men inherited that knowledge from those ancient people as revealed knowledge. Revealed knowledge. And the Holy Quran, Bible, and other of the more popular kinds of scriptures, they contain, they have preserved that revealed knowledge. They have preserved that revealed knowledge. So men believe that Allah revealed, that God revealed the knowledge to man. And I can't find, I haven't been able to find, a stronger knowledge on which to build human life, society, and to guide the society, than the knowledge we call revealed knowledge. It gives us simpler ideas, simpler concepts. It gives us easy, plain concepts to work with. Whereas when you study these branches of knowledge in school, they're very difficult. They're not so simple. They're difficult. And you learn them, but it's hard to really touch them. Hard to touch the concept. Hard to feel the concept, to grasp it. Hard to really manage it. In fact, the human sciences, for the most part, as they are taught in the public schools, are really ideas. They're ideas. They're just discourse or kind of elaboration or discussion of ideas. They don't offer very many concepts. They talk about an individual, they tell you an individual is this, the life is this, biology is this, man is Homo sapiens, and he's an organism, a complex organism, and he has to have a place to live, he has to have food. He's a domestic animal, he's a grouping animal, he has to have company, he likes to go in crowds. Well, this is telling us a lot of things that any of us could just discover for ourselves if we would sit down and think. The human sciences, as we learn them from the colleges and universities, they're not really telling us anything that we can't get ourselves if we just think about our lives. So the school is important because people have to have education. The church is important because they have to have some kind of spiritual life. The government is important because society needs laws. Big deal. But how does all this come about? How does all this come about? What has dictated all this? And that's where religion offers us more than, I mean popular religion, true religion, offers us more about human knowledge, human science, society, than the colleges. Offers us much more. In fact, what the colleges have is just a hint from religion. They don't have anything. They got a hint from religion. And they build these concepts, social concepts, and they teach psychology, they teach sociology, they teach these things, and they really don't know too much about what they're talking about. In fact, as soon as you join the class, first thing they do is open up for discussion. They want to talk, because nobody knows anything. They just want to talk, and they're looking for more information. They hope that maybe some student will give them some. They might not give you credit for it, but they'll take it and they'll go back and they'll add that. The Jacobites have them working in the air, trying to build a society standing on air. See? The ground is in Scripture, and they'll never touch ground unless they understand what the Scripture is saying, or unless God reveal it to them. The human being is a creature that is made or created just like everything else in this universe. And his needs are dictated by his natural life, just like it is for every other creature. The need is dictated in the life of that creature. So whatever we need, in our society, that thing is called for right here in the person. If we have schools, to understand why schools are here, make a study of the individual. To understand why government is here, make a study of the individual. You want to know why people want art, why people want music and dance and song, study the individual. The world without is a manifestation of the needs within. Isn't that simple? And that's the way that religion tells us to look at it. And that's the best way to look at it. And the really magnificent thing, or marvelous thing, pardon me, about religious knowledge is that religious knowledge doesn't only say that knowledge, pardon me, the outer world, is dictated by the needs that are within the inner world, but it says that all knowledge is expressed from reality. All knowledge. No knowledge can come out of space unless you're coming from an object out there in space. All knowledge must come from reality. This is the great revelation of Scripture, that God speaks first and then the others speak. But they can't speak before he speaks. And how does God speak? With creation. God speaks with creation. He creates, and his creation expresses great knowledge, books of knowledge. And whatever knowledge we have, if it's not written, or if it's not expressed from natural creation, it's false knowledge. It's confused knowledge, mixed up knowledge, corrupt knowledge. Knowledge must be expressed purely from creation. So in the Holy Quran, we saw that this is Deen al-Fitra, the religion after the order God has established in nature. Fitra means natural. The natural order, or design, is the religion established on the pattern that God has established in creation itself. You see? So society shouldn't be a hard subject for us. Society should be the easiest subject for us. It's hard because we're trying to theorize when we should be trying to see facts. You see? But this world likes to theorize. Why? Because they say we have no facts. But we do have facts. Nature is the fact. Now, we want to pick up where we left off, and we want to keep this same movement that we've been on here for the last, several Tuesday evenings now. Let me go to board and make some quick notes, so we don't lose track. and one of the stars fell. And he said, no, that can't be my God. Then finally he said, glory be to him who created all of this. So it shows us through Abraham how man was searching for Allah. He knew Allah was here. He knew he was in the world somewhere because he could feel it. He could feel it. Good people can feel Allah. We know he's somewhere. We don't know where. See, is he there? Is he in him? Is he in the sky? Where is he? I know he's here. I feel him. Right? So we feel Allah. We know that there's a power outside of us that's interfering with our life. That's helping us and interfering with our life. We know that. But where is it? So in that story, we're given the growing up of the human mind into the knowledge of God the Creator. Man, he looks to the things that impress him, that this must be God. Man would never look at man and say man is a God. The devil told man to do this. Human being would never think that human being is God. Human being always thinks that something outside of himself is God. Something greater than himself is God. He would never think that another human being is God. Unless somebody suggests that to his mind. You see? So it was the Jacobite, or the enemy of God and man. Enemy of man, number one. Remember that the Satan is not as much the enemy of God as he is the enemy of the human being. He's the enemy of the human being. And because he rejects the human being, and what does he reject about the human being? He rejects the naturalness of the human being. He looks at the naturalness of the human being as being something low, low, beneath him. So this human being, how come he should be great? He's nothing. He's weak. He cries. He sheds tears. But he can't handle his problem, he gets drunk. Satan laughs at this. Well, the human being is nothing. So isn't it Satan a human being? No. Satan is not a human being. Satan is a devil. But isn't he in a human body? Yes, but the body is no more human. He's not a human being. Satan is not a human being. Satan looks at his greatness. He looks at his power, his intelligence. And he says, intelligence is God. Knowledge is God. Intelligence is God. So the one that knows the most, he is God. And when you know what to do, you do it. You can become cold as ice. You don't cry. You obey knowledge. This is Satan, you see. So he laughs at the human being. Look at them. They're around here trying to figure out a way to satisfy people. You don't satisfy people. You get your plan together. You execute your plan. If you have to enslave 2/3 of the world, what's wrong with that? They are nothing but, when supplies for production. Material. They're nothing but material for production. That part that is not good, you throw it away. The board is too sharp, throw it away. Don't weep over it. Tree is rotten, chop it down. Don't weep over it. But the human nature say, if a human tree is rotten, heal it. Satan say, if it's rotten, cut it down. Or use it for firewood. Warm somebody with it. Use it for firewood. You see? So there's a great difference between the Satan mentality and the human mentality. And Satan, because human beings want to be human, he hates them. Satan hates human beings. Because they put a burden on him. He don't want human sentiment interfering with his plan. He don't want to hear about helping human beings. Let's get a job done. Now, in the open, He will talk about helping human beings. But back behind the scenes, when he's executing his plan, he don't want nobody bringing in no human person. The human what? Let me show you something here. Now, I'm not saying Satan is really the one doing this. But look here. An alien news. No. They didn't write this. They put it in the book with somebody else wrote. Scientists will soon make humans. Scientists will soon make humans. Now, says, who should play God? I don't know if you've seen the new issue yet, but all of you should get this issue. You should get every issue. Because the TV man article's in there, if nothing else is in there.
Amen.
The paper is a unique paper, and there are a lot of good reading in this paper. It says, scientists will soon make humans. All right, if scientists will soon make humans, what are they going to do with us? Didn't they say that the world is overpopulated? There's a population problem? Too many people? So why do they want to make people if there are too many people? They must have a plan to get rid of some people if they want to make some people. I mean, isn't that common sense?
Right.
Common sense tells me if there are too many people on Earth already, and they say there's a population explosion problem, right? Okay, so why make more human beings? How do you want to have it? Dear brothers and sisters, if they can leak this kind of information out and test the water to see what kind of reaction they get, if they can feel safe that there won't be a big uproar in the society, believe me, they'll put more money into this research to discover some way to create human beings. Now, when they say create human beings, they don't mean go and take something from the earth and make a man. No, it's not done that way. They're going to take cells, human cells, and they're going to use those human cells to make a human being after the order or the plan that they have conceived in their own mind. They have an idea of the kind of human being they want. They want his IQ to be such and such. They want his sentiments to be such and such. They want him to be insensitive, so he won't be upset by human feelings. So he'll be able to do a cold job.
Yes.
Or a hot job, you see?
Yes.
And won't ask persons, won't have any problems.
Right, no fear.
Or they want him to work at a machine and never be bored by it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Want him to work a machine all day long and be happy, never be bored by it. Another one, maybe he'll have to work with germs all day long. Never like anything but that. Never want to leave it. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So they want a problem-free.
Yes.
Slave camp.
That's right. Yes.
A slave camp.
That's right.
A population of robots.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Tools and clocks to do the things they want them to do. And if it's not in your genetic makeup, then it's not there. So they're thinking they're gonna find a way to create human beings, to clone cells. I think they call it cloning. in this article, if I got the wrong word, you get it right by reading the article. The clone cell and get a human being that won't have in his genetics, in his makeup, in his human makeup, those things that will produce problems for the program, the people who design and program the society. Now, if they can create people like this, then they're going to have to eliminate other people. There won't be any need for other people. Say if they create 50,000 workers, like for a certain field. Okay, now, they have this 50,000 problem-free workers. So that means we can't apply for those jobs, right? We can't apply for those jobs. We will be incompetent, right? We won't be fit to do those jobs. Those clone created individuals over there, they will be the ones that fit to do those jobs. Now, you may say, that's an impossibility. Don't be so foolish.
That's right.
There's nothing harder that a human being can conceive that can't be brought about.
Right.
If you can conceive it, most likely it can be brought about.
Okay.
But will God, will Allah let them create human beings? Allah has already let them create human beings.
Right.
You, if you're trying to get to come back to the natural way, they created you. But it wasn't by mechanical manipulation. It was by psychological manipulation. They didn't go into the mechanics of your life and do a physical job on you, not directly. But in effect, the physical job has been done too.
That's right.
You see? So what they have here now is a mess up. They say we tried grafting our creation. We tried grafting people. Grafting them mentally, morally, and spiritually, by giving them artificial concepts, artificial feelings. Don't you know you have unnatural feelings?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about all of you, but most of you, before you became Muslims, you had unnatural feelings.
That's right.
You thought it was natural just to give your sentiments to things.
Right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. If they say it's beautiful, it's beautiful. If they say it's lovely, it's lovely. Right? If it's beautiful, you should say it's beautiful. Even though Satan be in it. Right? It's beautiful. Love is love. So love is beautiful. Even though the love is destroying their own. It's beautiful, right? The love is destroying the society. The unnatural love that the Christian people have for Christ destroys the society. Look at the nun who married Jesus. Gets engaged and gets her silver ring. And then gets married and get a gold ring. Right? And she's married to Jesus and have broken off from the job Allah assigned her. Allah assigned the female to produce children. So the species will continue to grow. Now perhaps this nun has really the ideal body. And maybe she have a good intelligence, good soul and spirit. Maybe she would, her child is the one that Allah would like to see on this earth. But she's married Christ. And he's not around to tell her, no, and look, I can't see you tonight or no other night. Maybe divorce me. I can't even reach you. You know, he's not around to even give her some good advice. So she go on and find her decent husband and multiply her beautiful self on this earth. Is that right?
Yes.
So look how love for Christ have made our society weak. Weak and self-destructive. And love, the way it is taken in the homes now. Parents, love. Why don't you straighten that child out? Be all right. Just leave him alone. You can't be too hard on him.
That's what they said.
After all, you got to love me. And I want my children to love me. Love. For the sake of love, let the house just go to pieces. Man go out in the public street and kissing on another man. Here comes an intelligent person, supposed to be decent person, professional man, master degree, PhD degree. Oh, well, that's that thing. You shouldn't condemn it. See, but it's unnatural. Unnatural for who? It's natural for them. What is natural? Isn't that a value judgment? For what? For the love. For the love of man. Right? You have to love everybody and love everything. So see, they have already created the people.
That's right.
Don't think they can't create people. Allah has let them create people. These ain't the people Allah created. The natural man, the natural mind that came up on this earth, it didn't look at men over there kissing and tonguing and licking each other's ears and then get upset. The natural man said, what the hell is going on over there?
To see that they have as much human worth as anybody else as a Caucasian.
and that they can do the same thing for themselves that Caucasians do for them. That they don't have to have the Caucasians there guiding them and counseling them and telling them what they should do and how they should live. So they have the same problem. Why? Because this idea of Caucasian being the superior, the Superman, the Tarzan, the great city builder, you see, the Superman, this idea has spread all over the world. It has crippled non-Caucasians. Black, brown, yellow, and red. All of them have been crippled by it. All of them, brothers and sisters, have been crippled by it. And they're trying to overcome it. We have been crippled the most. But all of them have been hurt by that idea. So those people were just eliminated, you see? Eliminated. They could go in and just take over the land, colonize a whole continent, make all the people servants for them. Why? Because the minds had been conditioned to accept it. If the Caucasian is the superior man, if he is the great civilizer, if he is the son of God, if he is in the image and likeness of God, he looks like Jesus. Jesus is his savior. He has democracy. He is the civilizer. Right? All right. So he then got science to support his inventive idea of reality. Right? Got social scientists to say that yes, there are black, brown, yellow, and red are people. The white are the purest. They are the superior. We're not talking about something that was invented 1,000 years ago. I'm talking about language that was accepted in the colleges of America just here less than 100 years ago. Alright? That's what we're talking about. Language that was accepted in the colleges of America just here less than 100 years ago. In fact, I think much less than that. Maybe like 50 years ago. In fact, the Department of Criminology, just a few decades ago, left the idea of the black man being naturally, or genetically inferior to the Caucasian people. The idea just getting rid of those ideas. So what I'm doing is showing you that the mind of this present world is a mind that was created unnaturally, artificially, unnaturally. The natural human being is not the Western human being. The Western human being is an unnatural human being. Not only that, the African human being is an unnatural human being. The Indian human being in Asia is an unnatural human being. The Japanese is an unnatural human being. The world is filled with nothing but unnatural human beings. There are very few natural human beings on this earth. Why? Because for centuries, in fact, for thousands of years, the thing was growing. For centuries, the whole world has been under the influence of white supremacist ideas. And they have been affected by it. There was an aid for that kind of idea in Christianity and in Judaism. So the people who was affected by, who had these religions were vulnerable to these ideas. Say black man is inferior to the white man. Darkness is inferior to light. Darkness is sin. White is purity. See, these ideas were spread first. The Jacobite, called the supplanter, he went among all the cultures of the world, influencing their language to make them take on color consciousness. We didn't always have this color consciousness in our language. The proof of that is that most of the people, in their natural language, we don't find this color consciousness. But it's only in their religion. And we find that even so-called native African religion is not in its language the religion that it was when it was pure from their people. but it was purely expressed from their people. It's not the same language. They have influenced the language. I'm talking about native African religion. I'm not talking about Christianity or Islam. I'm talking about those little primitive, so-called primitive religions the African had. They have influenced their religion. Santa Claus idea have influenced their religion. Christ's idea have influenced their religion. The heaven and hell of Christianity or Judaism have influenced their religion. So their religion now carries a lot of ideas that came from the Jacobite language. You understand? So as some of you, you might get some books on the African religion. You might read some of them. If you ever read it, read it carefully, and you'll see that it's another version of the same old ideas you get out of the Bible. That's all. They call it a new religion. It ain't no new religion. It's another version of the same things expressed in the Bible. So what we have on earth is a mentality that has been grafted or created artificially. A mind, a mental makeup that has been created artificially. A culture that is artificial. So what you have to do, you have to come from that to the natural way again. Now, when these people say they're going to create humans, they're telling you that we have failed with the first plan. It served us for so long, now it's not serving us anymore. The plan to control society through the individual, by selecting the individual, culturing the individual, giving the individual, empowering the individual with knowledge that others don't have. Giving him refined culture. So he gets respect, while the others without that culture are denied that respect. So it gives power and dignity to the few. Is that right? This is going through the individual. The other way is to control the individual through the society. Okay, now these masses now that are not selected, how are we going to control them? We're going to control them through the environment. All right? One, you go directly to the individual. The other one, you affect him through his environment. So what controls the people they don't want? Santa Claus religion. Fairy tale religion. When that fairy tale religion loses its hold on them, we got something else waiting to get them. Jitterbug. Bebop. Okay. The Bump. Right. Doo-wops. Funky music. Thank you, brother. Acid rock. Petty raids. Drag racing. Football. Boxing. Cadillac drive. Flash of clothes, sex, making out, whiskey, reefers. They got all kind of things out here to occupy the mind and the life of those that they don't want. But they're not dealing with them directly. The forces of the environment are controlling them. Right? I want you to see how this world operates. The only way you can manage your life safely in this world, you have to know how this world operates. So that was the old way. Now that way has failed. By working through the individual, they're not able now to create the kind of individuals they want. Why? Because the evils of the environment have worked as a flood. See, again, this is a flood.
now poured over the wall into their guarded fortress. The filth now is into their castles. Their son now has a needle. He's smoking the reefer and shooting the dope in his vein. He's popping and popping and popping all night long. Right? So the forces that they designed to contain the unwanted elements of the society have now captured their people because their knowledge is not strong enough to attract their people away from the strong influences of the evil environment that they created. See, in time, the knowledge grew weak. The knowledge grew weak, why? Because it was designed for a time and for certain conditions. When those conditions change and the time change, the knowledge have not the effect that it had before. Do you understand? When the colonial system was in power, when white supremacy was respected, or at least had power, there was a different world. When white was right, when yellow was mellow, there was a different world. You understand? When freedom and democracy was words from the Holy Bible, and our mind didn't bother with trying to unravel it or question it, that was a different world. But when Marxism and communism and all of these things came out in the public, and a poor, uneducated man who don't even go to high school watch TV and see Khrushchev talking. He watched Khrushchev challenge America. He watched the Chinese argue with American. So he's now being educated, right? So he now thinks that, I don't need you to tell me what democracy is. I want freedom. I want a gun like Ho Chi Minh's boys got. I want me a Tommy gun, right? I want a hand grenade like Mao Zedong people got and Ho Chi Minh's people got, right? I want independence like Nigeria got, you see? Okay, so all of these things that happened over the last 10 or 20 years brought about a drastic change in the world and made people begin to question those things that they never dared question before. So the world is a new world now, and they